Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As we get the broadcast kicked off today, I want to say just a couple of words about theistic evolution, because under its banner, a growing number of Christians are maintaining that God used evolution as his method for creation. And that, in my estimation, is the worst of all possibilities. I think it's one thing to blame in evolution. It's quite another to blame God for it. The biblical account of creation specifically tells us that God created living creatures according to their own kinds. And therefore, while the Bible and science allow for microevolution, they do not in any way allow for macroevolution. In other words, amoebas, well, evolving into apes, or apes evolving into astronauts. Furthermore, evolution is the cruelest, it's the most inefficient system for creation imaginable, and therefore I am quite surprised that Christians today are defending the idea that this is the process which God more or less set up in order to have evolution. Theistic evolution, from my perspective, is simply a contradiction in terms. It's like talking about flaming snowflakes. God can no more direct an undirected process than he can create a squared circle. And yet that is precisely what theistic evolution presupposes. Look, evolution is fighting for its very life. So rather than prop it up with theories like theistic evolution, thinking people everywhere should be on the vanguard of demonstrating its demise. I've written about this and much more in the Creation Answer book, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Many of the resources I'll talk about during the broadcast, you can find them at equip.org on the World Wide Web. Do remember, you can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by. The number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I want to go to Honolulu, Hawaii first today. Sheila. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to know, I guess I saw two different spirits at my aunt's house when I was sleeping over. And being a Christian, I shouldn't be afraid, but yet I don't know why I'm seeing it.
Well, a couple of things, Sheila.
It wakes me up when I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Sheila, you have to take your subjective experience and test it in light of an objective frame of reference, which is the Word of God. And what we know for certain about the Word of God is that when someone dies, they are either in torment, which is to say they're away from the loving presence of God, or they are being comforted in the presence of God, but they do not and cannot return to this time-space continuum without God's divine prerogative. And God does not do this in a normal or a normative fashion. Therefore, the subjective experience of seeing a dead relative is something that does not correspond to the truth of Scripture. Now, it doesn't mean that you didn't have a real experience and that you really think that this is true. Of course you do. But there are many things that we experience subjectively that objectively are invalidated. And that's why we also have to test the subjective experience again in light of the Word of God, which is the final test for faith and practice.
So what do you mean by tested? Because it's not a relative. I don't know this person. I cannot see the face.
Well, but I'm saying whether it's a relative or anyone else, we know that those who have died do not return to the land of the living. But we also know something to be absolutely true on the basis of Scripture, and that is that Satan will play upon the field of our imagination and our superstition. And that's why when you test things in light of Scripture, you know it can't be a ghost or a departed person, but you can know that while you cannot see Satan, that he will try to influence your thoughts. And that's why you have to put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against principalities and powers of darkness.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You got it, Sheila. And I've written about this in a book called The Covering, because so often movies like The Conjuring, which is a blockbuster right now, or The Exorcist before it, or Rosemary's Baby, they give us a false view of the paranormal. And as a result, so often Christians begin buying into it. I was astounded to read the reviews on this particular movie, The Conjuring, by Christians who somehow or other think that this movie is consistent with a biblical worldview. It certainly is not consistent with a biblical worldview and demonology. It's rather based on selling sensationalism and a huge dose of sophistry. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Bill. He's listening in Meadow Vista, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I just got back from vacation, and I finished up the last of your trilogy on the last disciple, as well as The Fuse of Armageddon. And I'm a nationally published Christian writer as well as a physician, and the writing in your books is phenomenal. The book, The Fuse of Armageddon, I think could be one of the most important books of this century, with the implications of it. But be that as it may, just wanted to plug your books.
Well, let me say thank you before you go on. Thank you very much.
Okay. What I was calling about is that I had been looking at Francis Collins' BioLogos website, and in some ways that appealed to me in that I don't believe that there are such things as blind natural forces, because even randomness has an elegance to it and a complexity to it, as do mathematics and all physical laws that, they scream intelligent design. And so, the traditional view of theistic evolution is that God uses these blind natural forces. But, to me, it sounds like, there's something that happened when different species were created, something at that instant. And God either does primary causation, where he kind of poofs something into existence, or he uses its natural laws. And I think, consistent with St. Augustine and the two books of Scripture and Nature that God uses to show us the universe, it seems to me that in some ways intelligent design stifles the sorting out and exploring into God's mysteries of what seems so improbable.
Well, I mean, I think intelligent design is just designed, if you will, to follow truth wherever it leads. But look, in the view of the BioLogos Foundation, science dictates that modern human beings emerged from primates 100,000 years ago in a population numbering some 10,000, not two. And while Collins and company staunchly defend Darwinian evolution, their views don't correspond to reality, and that's my big problem with what he's teaching and saying. For example, Darwin hung his hopes on hundreds of thousands of transitional forms leading to the fossils of the Cambrian explosion. But in actuality, the poverty of the fossil record has been an embarrassment. Virtually all known body plans appear abruptly in the Cambrian. And therefore, as I've said many times on this broadcast, I think the Cambrian radiation vaporized the Darwinian tree of life. But not only so, Scripture plainly opposes the collective rhetoric of theistic evolutions evolutionists who are denying the reality of a historical Adam and Eve. The Bible makes it very clear. From one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. So sacred scripture, in concert with sound science, makes plain that kinds reproduce according to their own kinds. And therefore, the evolutionary paradigm that is being perpetuated by Collins simply doesn't correspond to reality. And if the first Adam and Eve had not fallen into lies of perpetual sin terminated by death, there'd be no need for God to send a second Adam.
Well, do you think that God did a special primary causation, miraculous de novo ex nihilo production of all the various species out of nothing at that instant?
Well, yes. I think this is what the Bible states. The Bible states that kinds reproduce after their own kinds, that one kind does not evolve into another kind. So we allow for microevolution in the biblical worldview, but not for macroevolution. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that what the Bible states is corroborated by science. So what Collins is hanging on to is mythology. The Cambrian explosion underscores from hard evidence in general revelation that all known body plans appear abruptly in the Cambrian. And therefore, this whole notion of gradations and mutations, as posited by the Darwinian viewpoint, which is espoused by Collins and company, they don't correspond to either biblical reality or scientific reality.
Well, yeah, they have a more flexible, less wooden interpretation of the book of Genesis, that it was not written as a science literature, but that that it did speak to what happened in general, and specifically how that happened scientifically.
Right, but I'm not disagreeing with that.
I'm not
disagreeing with that point of view. I mean, I think that what Genesis is doing is never contra science, but it's not meant to be a scientific handbook. It is rather meant for us to understand the chirological impact of God's creative prowess. In other words, God's purposes in creation. So it's not meant to give us a chronology of creation, but it is meant to give us God's purposes in creation. But what I'm pointing out is that general revelation militates against the view of Collins. In other words, the fossil evidence simply says no to the viewpoint that he's espousing. And I think that this is the way I'm arguing. Now, I'm also arguing that the whole notion of God's special creation of Adam and Eve is explicit in the scriptures. And unless you hold to this, the scriptures become contradictory, because our Savior himself said at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. And unless one be tempted to allegorize the words of the Lord, it's instructive to note that Jesus further affirmed a historical Adam and Eve when he referred to the murder of their son Abel. But not only that, Luke, writing to a primarily Gentile audience, extends the genealogy past Abraham to the first Adam, and therefore highlights Christ the second Adam as the Savior of all humanity. And even if that's insufficient in someone's mind, Chronicles provides a historical record from Adam to the exile. Likewise, starting at Genesis 5:1, Moses gives the written account of Adam's line. So I think that Genesis is a historical narrative interlaced with Jewish poetry, but it's hardly an allegory.
Yes, I I agree. It's a huge discussion. I'd love to sit down with you at length. I'm writing a book, the Christianity. It's not what you quote think unquote. The faith journey of a recovering intellectual.
Oh wow!
I'm dealing with several issues of theology, science, and social issues. And boy, there are a lot of things I'd like to talk to you about. But I'll let other callers get their chance, and I sure appreciate your input.
Well, and may the Lord add His blessing to what you're writing. Sounds intriguing. I can't wait to see the finished product.
Well, I'll try to get in touch with your office and see if I can send you a preview.
I would love to see it, Bill, and thank you for those wonderful, kind, encouraging words in the prologue to your question. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions are answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That, of course, translates to 888-275-4265. Be right back with more answers.
Through his many best-selling books and a massive multimedia empire, Deepak Chopra has succeeded at convincing many Westerners to embrace Hindu beliefs and practices in the name of science, healthcare, and even Christianity. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, you'll see why Chopra is a spiritual force that Christians need to reckon with. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Just go online to equip.org. Or you can call us at 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Secure is the personal and powerful story of Hank Hanegraaff's close friend, Rick Dunham. And it's a book that shows how you can discover real security based on something besides your paycheck, possessions, or portfolio. Secure is our thank you for your donation to help CRI create more broadcast books and other resources that share the essential truths of Christianity. Your partnership matters, so please call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request your copy of Secure today. 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Alex listening in Omaha, Nebraska on Bot Radio. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Hank. Great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
I have a question. Thank you. I have a question. I've been talking and preaching online to people, like especially on YouTube, because I see there's a mass majority of people just hanging out on YouTube. And I keep talking with some evolutionists. I treat them with respect. I don't curse, nothing like that. I treat them with all respect. But one of my problems is that every time I prove them wrong, not to win nothing, just to prove that evolution is wrong, They have like this ability to escape, in such ways, like how do we know this is reality, and stuff like that. Like they, I don't know how to deal with it. They don't change their view, no matter how much evidence I show them, proving evolution doesn't work right, and how much evidence that there is for Jesus, archaeological. And by the historians that prove there was a Jesus and all this, they just don't change their mind. I don't know what to do when I talk to them, because I feel bad because they're teaching wrong teachings to young kids on YouTube. You know, they're there, they believe it. You're like, wow, I'm amazed. You know, I can't believe I was a monkey. You know, or ape-like creature. And it's just sad. And I try to, and they're spreading it. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's great that you're hanging out on YouTube and being a witness for Jesus Christ. You're to be commended for that. But remember that it's never your province to change anybody's heart. That's the province of the Holy Spirit. What you ought to be doing is precisely what you are doing, and that is equipping or preparing yourself to be an ever more effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in terms of reaching people. So the results are not what you're after. What you're after is precisely what you're doing, always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. When I was a person who believed in philosophical naturalism and evolutionism, I'm sure there were many people who witnessed to me over the years who probably sighed deeply and thought, no one will ever reach him. But eventually, the seeds that they planted, someone else came along and watered, and God gave the increase. And I was able to take an objective look at the evidences and recognize that the evolutionary paradigm, which I once thought made so much sense, makes no sense whatsoever. You're forced to believe that life came from non-life, that nothing produced everything, and for that matter, that the life that came from non-life produced morals. I mean, this is a stretch, to say the least. Logically, we know that every cause has to have, or every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So when you look at the universe, you must certainly be driven to the notion that there's an uncaused first cause by which the universe came into existence. So I think all of the evidence is on our side of the ledger, and we need to simply communicate it with gentleness and with respect, but leave the conversion process in the hands of the Holy Spirit. We can be an effective tool, but He ultimately is the one who transforms the heart.
Yes, thank you. Yes, and what do you recommend to people that just keep on going and going on? Like, no matter, they don't listen whatever you write. Do I just leave it alone? Like,
Yeah. I mean, again, you shouldn't feel the obligation to do something that you're not obligated to do. What you are obligated to do is to be an effective witness. What you are not obligated to do is change anybody's heart.
All right, thank you. And may I ask you, does Equip.org have all the resources more for evolution, like teaching creation?
Yeah. You know, I have a book that I've mentioned a couple of times on today's broadcast called The Creation Answer Book. And in this book, I basically go through the evidences against the evolutionary paradigm. I demonstrate that the whole notion of one kind evolving into another kind simply does not correspond to reality. In other words, the fossil record continues to be an embarrassment to the evolutionary hypothesis. Then I go over the ape men fiction fantasies and frauds that are being taught to young people today in the classroom, and show how they don't correspond to reality. Then I demonstrate that chance, in the sense that refers to that which happens without cause, implies the absence of both design and a designer. However, all of the evidence points in a different direction. And then I point out that the basic laws of science militate against the evolutionary hypothesis, and therefore, as we move farther and farther in an age of scientific enlightenment, more and more evidence comes to light, which causes the evolutionary foundation to start to crack in such a way that ultimately it's going to have to completely disintegrate, because it simply is a theory that people are sort of forced to communicate and believe, but it has no real basis in evidence. It is a fantasy, a fairy tale for adults.
It's more like a hypothesis they have. thank you, Hank, and that was all my questions for today. May the Lord keep blessing you for what you're doing. You're helping millions. Thank you again.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Carla in Waco, Texas, listening on NRB Television. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I really enjoy your program and a lot of wisdom there. I have two questions. So one, I was saved in a Pentecostal church, and from my understanding that we have the Holy Spirit all the time. He's always there. I have a friend, acquaintance. She goes to a Pentecostal church, and she tells me that I went to church last night and I got the Holy Spirit again. And she says she starts shaking and trembling, and I'm real confused because once you have the Holy Spirit, isn't He always with us?
Yes, but there is the truth in what you say, that when you become a believer, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Your temple, as it were, becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. But there's also biblically the notion of being infilled or empowered for service. For example, every time I walk into the studio, I breathe the prayer, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So I ask the Holy Spirit to infill me, so that He will give me the ability not just to touch heads, but to touch hearts, not by my own power, but by His power. So I'm asking to be empowered by the Holy Spirit for service. And because I'm a leaky vessel, I need to continually pray to be empowered by the Spirit so that I can serve my Lord and King, not by my own power, but by His power. And I think also there's a sense in which we have the indwelling Spirit, but we need to learn to be attentive to the indwelling Spirit so that we can hear the still small voice within that leads us through the tangled web of human experiences.
Right. Well, see, yeah, I just got confused because she that talk like it comes and goes all the time, and when He comes, that she gets the shaking and all this, and she said, "I went to church last night and I got the Holy Spirit again."
Yeah, well, all of these kinds of ecstatic utterances and experiences typically are psychosomatic and have little to do with the Spirit at all. I mean, there are living disciplines or life practices that we can engage that allow us to have fuller and closer and nearer communion with our Lord. But a lot of the kinds of working up through socio-psychological manipulation that's happening in Pentecostal circles today has little to do with the Spirit of God and much to do with manipulation.
Okay, well, you know, because I'm she's in Florida and I'm in Texas, and I get, you know, confused because I've seen people speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. I got the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues, but I don't exploit it. I do. It's very personal. I pray, and I'm always confused. And my other part of the question, it's not a question, is I have my son. I have a son, and he has. He's repented. He's in bondage with drugs, and he's repented, and he's trying to find his way. And what can I do to have him understand that it's something that it's a faith thing, that he's going to have to trust and bind Satan, and I'm confused how I can help him, because I tell him this, like, it's not like a magic wand that God will wave and right. Everything, you're going to be fine. It's a constant struggle, I guess, for him. I don't know what he says. He goes and he repents, but he's got to continue fighting temptation. What can I do or say or show him to help him?
Yeah. Well, I think continue to be his loving mother. I think demonstrating the reality of your life and love will do a lot to pour extra meaning into whatever you say with your lips. But beyond that, I think it's really important when you do talk to him to underscore just what you so beautifully communicated. Things don't just magically disappear. We have layers of sin and often cords that bind. And what eradicates or loosens those binding cords is life practices, disciplines, which are carried on within community. In other words, within a support network, which biblically is always the body of Christ. So there has to be an accountability structure, and there has to be a real deep desire, a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the will to move in another direction. And when you have that change of the heart, then you need people to hold you accountable, because the same thing that extracts you is the same thing that binds you. It is your desire, and that desire is so hard to break apart from a community of faith that can hold you accountable. You know, there's a book that I'm thinking about as I'm speaking to you. It's a 30-day guide written by Joe Dallas with respect to purity in life and practice, and I think this book might be extraordinarily helpful to him. It's actually just titled The Game Plan, The Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Integrity, particularly when it comes to sexual practices.
Integrity?
Yeah. So it's called The Game Plan, The Men's 30-Day...
The Game Plan, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the title. It's by Joe Dallas. You can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Going to have to leave it at that because I am, unfortunately, coming up to a station break. I want to mention as we go to break that I'm going to be speaking at the Summer Vision Banquet for Utah Partnerships for Christ in AM 820. All of that will happen this weekend, Saturday, July 27th from 6 to 8. And then the following day, Sunday, I'll be at South Mountain Community Church. They have two different campuses. I'll be speaking at both of them. For more information, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Again, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember Secure, by the way. If you haven't got your copy of Secure, get it for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute.
19th century critics of the Bible invented the concept of a flat earth, and some very fringe Christian groups joined in the act, affirming that the earth is indeed flat. But as the current issue of the Christian Research Journal demonstrates, the Bible says something very different when it refers to such things as the four corners of the earth, to start your subscription to the award-winning Christian Research Journal, call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We often look for security in places where it can't be found, in money, our career, or our health. That's why CRI's broadcasts are so powerful, as they help people discover the real security that's found in Jesus. But we can't do it without your help. Your generous support today helps us reach more lives with God's Word. And in thanks for your gift, we'll send you a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham to help you clearly see the security Christ freely offers you. So please request your copy of Secure by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And with respect to giving, let me also mention the Bible Answer Man monthly support team. If you're an existing member, please consider making an additional gift this month so that we can meet the expenses which have continued to accumulate. We didn't meet our goal at the end of our fiscal year, and we're still trying to close up that gap. And so we would just ask those who love this ministry to consider making an extra gift this month to help us close that gap. Hopefully we'll see that happen in the next month or so. Also, if you have seen the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having, please prayerfully consider joining the Bible Answer Man monthly support team today. For your gift of $25 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. If you have that book, I'd be pleased to personalize another book to you. Just let us know which book you'd like. I've written many books and be happy to personalize one of them. I hardly dare make this announcement. On the one hand, I feel like, wow, the more people join, the better it will be for us to reach people. But I'm looking at a stack, a mountain of books in my office as we speak that I have to personalize, but I enjoy doing every one of them as I think about people who become our monthly support team partners. So again, you can check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Travis, listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, on CJCA. Hi, Travis.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Okay. So I'm sure this has come up on your station in the past 3 weeks, and as you know, it's Ramadan for Muslims around the world. I'm participating in a 30 days of prayer, and this has, grown my made me more aware of Muslims and Islam, and as such, God has also, you know, opened my heart towards them more. But the thing is, I just don't know any Muslims at work, or I don't work with any Muslims, and I don't know any personally. So my question is, how can we go about establishing friendships or relationships with Muslims? Is it appropriate to, you know, walk into a mosque? So that's my question.
Yeah, well, you know, here's what I think. I mean, I don't think that we as Christians are called to run around frantically all over the world grabbing people by the lapels, whether in mosques or in communes, grabbing them by the lapels and saying, brother, are you saved? But what we are compelled to do is be equipped for evangelism, prepared for evangelism, becoming so familiar with the essentials of the historic Christian faith that when you see someone who embraces a counterfeit, you can use their deviations as an opportunity for communicating truth. So I'm less concerned with evangelism than I am with equipping for evangelism, because if you are equipped, God will give you opportunities. Now, to take that directly to what you're talking about, if you have a passion, as you very obviously do, by the leading of the Holy Spirit to become equipped to reach out to Muslims, guess what? As you equip yourself, you will not have to go to a mosque to find a Muslim to witness to. God will bring a Muslim into your path. Why can I say that? Well, I've had this experience over and over and over again. God always equips us and prepares us for the calling He places on our life. And remember, we're not really supposed to engage in hit-and-run evangelism, which is to say, drop the gospel and leave. We're not only called to make a convert, but we are more particularly called to make a disciple. I remember having the experience of meeting a man named Saeed Jarar. He was a Muslim from Amman, Jordan. And I met him, God brought him into my path, and I was able to share the gospel with him and use the deviations of Islam as an opportunity to communicate the truth that I was prepared to present to him. And as a result of that, he received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of his life. Well, what ended up happening is he lived with our family for a full year in our home. And during that time, I had the opportunity to disciple him and to baptize him and to teach him how to share his faith before I ever returned back to Amman, Jordan. So what essentially happened there is he became a disciple, a learner or follower of Jesus Christ, an apprentice, if you will, of Jesus Christ. So when he went back to Amman, Jordan, he was a thoroughly discipled, equipped believer, and as a result, he was therefore a reproducing disciple maker. And he now, through his life, can reach other people. So there's a multiplication that takes place. But at the root of all of this is simply preparing yourself as you're doing right now.
Okay, great. That does help a bit. And that's wonderful to hear of your friend from Jordan. I actually did have, an experience that you just described. Like, I work in construction, and I work in new home construction, so we have many trades coming in and out and are of many different ethnical and cultural backgrounds. And a week ago, maybe, I think, I was in a house, and there were some Muslims who were playing, some Islamic lectures. And I, to be honest, I dropped the ball. I was not, I felt led to approach them, but I just didn't know how to go about doing that. Can you give any guidance?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very, very good question. If I say to one of my colleagues in the office or in the studio right now, can I see your wallet real quick? I'm sure they wouldn't mind handing me their wallet because they trust me. But if I asked an utter stranger that I met on the street, hey, can you give me your wallet? They would look at me like I was crazy. In the one case, the former case, I had built a relationship that earned the right to ask for the wallet, so to speak, and the other I had not. And I think that's kind of the way it is with sharing the gospel. I don't know how I came up with that illustration, but it just came. It just came. Anyway, I don't know if it's a good one or a bad one. But anyway, in the case of witnessing, I mean, I think it's instructive to recognize that we first have to build relationships, and that's the point. You build a relationship, and once you have the relationship, then you earn the right to share the good news of the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have a relationship for months or months. That relationship can be built in a very short period of time. But you interact with that person, and through that, you earn the right to share the gospel. So you build a relationship, you share the good news of the gospel, you learn how to lead someone in a response to the gospel, and then take them through the basic steps of discipleship and growth as a new believer.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Hey, you got it. Thank you for your call. Travis, back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Darlene. Darlene in Columbia, Mississippi, NRB Television. Hi, Darlene.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Is it Darlene?
Darlene, yes, sir.
Oh, good. Good talking to you.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is about the Passover Supper. Is it just traditions of men that they call the Last Supper, the Passover? I know in the Gospels it speaks as Passover. Peter and John were instructed to go and prepare for the Passover. But Jesus, being our Passover lamb, was crucified at 3 p.m. on the day that they killed the lamb. The Passover supper is to be eaten that night, which will be the beginning of the next day, the first day of unleavened bread. Why does the Bible say that Jesus ate the Passover supper with the disciples when it's impossible he was crucified?
Well, I'm really glad that you're reading your Bible carefully. One of the things you'll find as you read the Bible carefully is that Jesus died on Passover day or Friday to fulfill the conditions of being our Passover lamb. So you're correct in that presupposition. But there's a time difference between the household observance of the Passover meal on the evening of the 14th of Nisan, which is Thursday evening, which the Lord celebrated with his disciples as the Lord's Supper, and the public sacrifice on the altar on behalf of the nation of Israel on the 15th of Nisan. And I think therein lies the answer to your question.
Well, see, I believe Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights because he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean 72 hours.
Days and three nights out of Friday afternoon.
Well, but I was just going to explain that to you. Again, you're correct in the basic idea that you're communicating. The Gospels say that he died and he was buried the day before the Sabbath, or Friday and rose on the day after the Sabbath, or on Sunday? And the answer, therefore, to the conundrum that you pose is that in the Jewish mind, part of a day was counted as an entire day. And that's why it's so important to learn the idioms or figures of speech that are used in Scripture. And by the way, you know that it couldn't have been 72 hours that were in mind, because Christ rose on the third day, not after 3 days, according to Matthew chapter 16. So again, I think it's important to understand that part of a day and part of a night constituted as a day and a night. And so you don't have to have a full 72 hours literally. That's not what is in view. In fact, if you read the text carefully, you know not only by the function of Jewish idiom that I've just described, but you know from the text itself that it couldn't have been a full 72 hours that are in view. Want to mention also, as we go to break, well, and we're not going to go to break, we're actually going to go to the end of the show. We're almost at the end of this show, but I'm actually thinking about staying here for an extra hour once I go off the air, so for me it's a little break. But I'm going to stay here in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air, and we continue taking your calls. So many people are calling in. So here's the deal. For the next hour, you can call the number 888-ASK-HANK, and I'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So again, for the next hour, just dial 888-ASK-HANK, and during the next hour, I'll continue answering your questions. I'm going to record my answers to your questions, so someday when I'm actually traveling, I'll use that recorded show. So we'll let you know when that is in the future, but right now you can call 888-ASK-HANK. I'll answer your questions. We'll record my answers to your questions, and we'll play that in a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you're hanging on, be patient. I'll get to you. And if you're dialing, start dialing 888-ASK-HANK now and for the next hour. I'm going to be speaking at Christ Community Church in Pinehurst, North Carolina, Wednesday, August 14th. And I'm going to be talking about the topic of universalism. Do all paths lead to God? This is going to be a conference, and admission is free. For more information, you can go to equip.org on the World Wide Web. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your prayers and for your support. We look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions. And again, for those hanging on, I'll be right with you in a few moments.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering and Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come.
But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.